Again, delighted that you're with us this morning. We'll see if we can make this happen. Probably not. So I'll see you this evening. Not really. We can do it with it or without it. I want to remind you before I get into my lesson this morning, next Lord's Day, every Lord's Day special. Every Lord's Day, and not just Sunday morning, Sunday evening as well. You know, I've often wondered why people don't come back. Some people don't come back on Sunday morning. And I'm asked that from time to time. You know, the question that has always crossed my mind is, why did they come Sunday morning? Why did they come Sunday morning? We do the same thing on Sunday evening we do on Sunday morning. Why did they come Sunday morning? But there'll be more people on Sunday morning than there will on Sunday evenings. And they say, hey, it's because I love God and I want to worship Him. Okay. We'll see you tonight. We'll see you tonight. But every Lord's Day is special. But next week we're doing a special emphasis, okay? We're calling it a great day in May, and we're going to have 100% attendance. Won't that please the Lord? Won't that please the Lord? You know, how did your Bible classes go this morning? Man, we had a great one out here. We studied from Acts chapter 20 out here. And, I just thought to myself as I was sitting there, you know, just thinking about Acts 20 again. The Apostle Paul came from the city of Troas down to this little, came into the city of Troas, and he waits there 7 days until the disciples came together to break bread. I thought to myself, what did he do during those 7 days? Did he not see any Christians? Did he not gather with any Christians? I think he probably did. We're not told, but I can't imagine it, that an apostle comes into your little town and you know he's there and you don't meet with him. But on Monday, there might have been someone who couldn't be there. On Tuesday, perhaps there were some others who could be there on Tuesday, but we're not told. But I just imagine the Apostle Paul meeting with Christians daily. But he knew they'd all be there on the Lord's Day, didn't he? He knew they'd be there on the Lord's Day. And he wanted to be with all of them, with every one of them. It's only recently in history, in the history of the church, only recently that members of the Lord's church have begun to really lose a feeling of specialness about assembling on the Lord's Day. Some of us have developed a take it or leave it attitude. I can do it or don't need to. I can or I can't. And it'd be some of us, even a number of our congregation, this week who won't observe the Lord's Supper. It's only offered on the first day of the week. And they won't observe the Lord's Supper. Now, Paul said that there were some, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, who were observing, but they were observing it in an unworthy manner. And because of that, they were weak and sickly, and some were dead. Spiritually, some were dead. If that can happen by partaking of it in an unworthy manner, I wonder what could happen if you didn't partake of it at all. I'm just asking you to think, and to think seriously about your commitment to the Lord's church. Next Lord's Day, we're going to have 100% attendance. What a wonderful, wonderful opportunity that is going to be for us to be together. We'll have a cookout after the morning service, and then the afternoon we're just going to spend it in singing, and you'll want to be here. Don't miss it. Invite your friends and your family to come. We're glad to have them be with us. But really, this is for us. This is for us. This is not about evangelism. This is not where we evangelize. This is where we as Christians restore our zeal. We encourage one another to go out again, to go out into our world. We're glad when there are non-Christians that are with us. We are. But this is for us. This is for us. And next Lord's Day will be just a special occasion for us. So we want to encourage you to do just that. Hey, in light of that, it's a new week. It's a new week. A few months ago, sitting in a secular setting on a Monday, a lady got up and she said, "It's a new week. It's a new week." And I thought to myself, wait a minute. You done a day into it, aren't you? The Lord's Day, the first Sunday is the first day of the week. Monday would then be the second day of the week. So we can't say Monday, hey, it's a new week. But we can say this now, and we're already a few hours into it. And for some reason, the Lord saw fit for us to assemble on the first day of the week, as if to say, it's a new week. It's a new week. Now, that's true. That's true. It's a new week. And I want to encourage you, as we go out into this new week, it's a new week. It is. And it may not go just as you expect. That may not happen. Did it always go exactly the way the Apostle Paul expected it to go? Those of you who were in Bible class this morning out here in this auditorium, it was alluded to. We kind of got ahead of ourselves a little bit, but it was alluded to the fact that the Apostle Paul had said he wanted to go to Rome. Did he get to go to Rome? Yeah, did he get to go as he expected to go? No, it doesn't always go the way we expect it to, does it? It doesn't always occur just the way we expect it to occur. This week, my brother, this week, my sister, it may not go as you expect. But who you are is a whole lot more important than anything you're going to experience. Remember who you are. We have the example of our Lord in John chapter 13. That Jesus knows what's ahead of him. He knows what's ahead of him. But it's in this section that we're reminded by the Holy Spirit that Jesus drew strength from remembering who he was. So open up your Bibles to John 13, verses 1 through 5. I want to look at it with you just for a moment. Call these things to your attention before we move on to the second point. Beginning in verse number 1. Now before the feast of the Passover. Now this is the last Passover feast that Jesus is going to observe with his disciples. It's the last Passover feast that anyone will observe under the law. The law is about to be nailed to the cross. Now before the Passover feast, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, he loved his own which were in the world. He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and that he went to God. Three things are mentioned in that verse. Jesus knew that the Father had given all things into his hands. Secondly, Jesus knew that he had come from God, and Jesus knew that he went to God. Because of that, Jesus lived his life. He just lived out his life, just living it out. And he did some unexpected things, some things people would have never imagined that he would have done. And he did it because he understood these things. He knew who he was. In fact, we'll just keep reading with me. Verse number 4. He riseth from supper. He laid aside his garment. He took a towel and he girded himself. After he had poured water into a basin, he began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded.
Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Because Jesus washed his disciples' feet, did that make him any less the one who came from God and the one who was going to God? Did that make it the truth? Now he's washed feet. The Father hadn't put all things into his hands. No, those things were true. In fact, because those things were true, Jesus had no problem washing feet. He had no problems doing things that other people would never do, would not do. I'm too good for that. Man, you don't know who I am. I'm too good to be doing that. No. The reason Jesus could wash his disciples' feet and would wash his disciples' feet is because he knew exactly who he was. It's when we hear ourselves saying, well, I'm not going to do that. Somebody else can do that. I'm above that job. I'm not going to do that. You've forgotten who you are. Didn't Jesus say in John chapter 14 and again in John chapter 15 that no servant is above his master? Now, who's your master? Well, Jesus is my master. Did Jesus wash feet? Yes, he did. Are you above Jesus? And the answer is, well, of course not. Of course not. Now here we go out into a new week, and it may not go just like we expect it to go. It may not. But who we are, folks, who we are is a lot more important than anything we're going to experience in this new week. And so we can serve. We can serve because we remember who we are. Here we go out into a new week, and it may not go just as you expect it to go. But what you're becoming is more important than anything you're going to experience in it. Those who were with us last Sunday evening, on Sunday evening, we've just been looking at things that we can use as we go out. Just encouraging ourselves as we go out into each week. And last week, last Sunday evening, we looked at these passages of scriptures, Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. Oh, are y'all familiar with this? Have you ever heard this, church? And we know that God makes all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his appearance. And we just kind of broke that thing down. And we just broke that verse down and just looked at it. Look at the assurance in it. Let me just remind you quickly. Look at the assurance in it. Paul doesn't say, no, we think, we got a strong inclination. He says, we know. We know. We know. And so we see the assurance in this. We see the power in it. We know God makes. God makes. We see the scope of it. We know that God makes all things. We see the activity of it. God makes all things work together. And we observe that that word work, that verb in the verb form, is in the present active tense. This is not a one-time thing. God works and then he rests. God never gets tired. He needs no rest. God is always at work. Always at work in my life. God is always at work in the life of a Christian. Always. There's no time he takes a rest. He doesn't take a day off. He doesn't go on vacation. God is always working in my life. And he's always working in yours if you're a Christian. We see the activity of it. We see the purpose of it. You read it with me. See if you can pick up on it. And we know that God makes all things work together
What's the purpose? For good. For good. He makes all things work together for good. Isn't that a marvelous thing to know? That God's always at work in my life. He's always at work in the life of you as a Christian. And it's always for good. Now this is the good from God's perspective. Not always from my perspective, but from God's perspective. Because if you ask me, is that good? Is what's happening to you good? There may be times when I'd say, oh man, that's one of the hardest things. That's one of the most difficult things. That's one of the most awful things that ever happened to me. But from God's perspective, he sees it as good. He sees it as good because the next thing we see is the purpose of it. God worketh all things together for good. To them that, who? That love God, and to them that are called according to his purpose. That's the recipients of this. We try to make this, some people try to make this verse fit everybody that's ever lived. This promise is only to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. This is a promise to Christians. That whatever's going on in your life, God's working. God's working. And those things we call good, God's working on them for a purpose in your life. And those things you'd call difficult, those things you'd call hard and awful, God's working through them in your life. For what? Let's see if we can find it. For we know that God works all things, or God makes all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's what God's interested in. Me being conformed into the image of his Son. You being conformed into the image of his Son. And he'll take whatever happens and he'll make that happen in our lives. And so you see, folks, this next week it may not go just as you expect. But what you are becoming, hopefully you're being conformed into the image of his Son through all the good things. And through all the difficult things, all the hard things, you're being conformed into the image of God's Son. And God says, that's good. That's what I purposed from before the foundation of the world. That's what I purposed. Is to have many children, many sons. Conformed to the image of God's Son. And that's what's important. And that's more important than anything I'm going to experience this week. That's more than anything I'm going to. It's more important than anything you're going to experience this week. Are you going to be conformed to the image of his Son? It may not always go as you expect. You're going out into a brand new week. You want to start this week, and here we go, out into a brand new week. And it may not go as you expect. But there's one more thing I want to remind you of. But the one you believe in, he is certain. He's in control, isn't he? He's in control. Whatever happens, he's certain. The Apostle Paul. Now listen, I want to remind you where he's sitting when he pens these words. He is sitting in a Roman prison. And at any moment, that door is going to open. They're going to drag him out and they're going to cut his head off. This is 2 Timothy. And listen to Paul. Is he going as he expected? Oh, I expected to go to Spain. Did he get to go to Spain? I intend to do this, I intend to do that. It didn't always go as the Apostle Paul expected, but listen to what he says. He says, I'm a preacher. I'm an apostle. I'm reading to you from verse 11 now of 2 Timothy chapter 1. He said, I'm appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. Now you're not a, you're not a preacher. You're certainly not an apostle. You're not been appointed by God specifically as a teacher to the Gentiles. But God's given you a work. Remember, he says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, for by grace are you saved through faith, this not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. How come we know that verse and we don't know the next one? We're saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift from God, not of works, lest any man should work. For he has created us in Christ Jesus unto good works. We've been created in Christ for a purpose. A purpose. Does it always go like we think it should? Like we expected it to go? No. It didn't in the life of Paul either. But listen to what he says. He says, for which cause I suffer all these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. He had asked them not to be ashamed of him just verses earlier. Don't be ashamed of me and my imprisonment. And now he's saying, because I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which he hath committed unto him against that day. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is certain? That God is in control? That his will is going to be done? His will is going to be accomplished? Sure we do. Sure we do. And so, as we go out into this new week, as we enter it, as servants of righteousness, living out obedient faith in our lives, as we enter this new week, let's remember these things. Remember who we are. Remember who you are. You're a child of God. You've been saved by grace through faith. You've been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Remember who you are. Remember what you're becoming. Whatever happens, if it's wonderful, if it's amazing, if it's great, or if your old car lays down on you, and then just about the time you get the old car fixed and get it up and going, the tires on the back of your old truck, they wear out and you got to buy two new tires. And then about the time you get the car up and going, you get the two new tires on the back of your truck, the Beverly's car, check engine light comes on. Oh, woe is me. Oh, woe is me. I got it so bad. It doesn't make any difference whether it's good or whether it's bad. God's working it for my good, isn't it? God's working it for my good. Remember what you're becoming. You are being conformed into the image of God's Son. And remember to whom you are committed. You're committed to Him who's in control. Enough said, right? We are committed to Him who is in control. And so I say to you, have a great week. It's going to be a great one, isn't it? It's going to be a great one. Why? Because if the Lord doesn't come back, I'm going to be more like God's Son next Saturday evening, next Sunday morning, than I was this Sunday morning. Is that good or bad? That's good. That's what God purposed. That's God's will for my life. I'm going to be more like Him. It's going to be a great week. If the Lord comes back, it'll be a better one, won't it? It'll be a better week. How can I lose? How can you lose? And so go out and have a great week. Have a great week. I told you as services began that if you're not a Christian, we're going to give you the opportunity to become one. The things we've talked about today, especially that Romans 8 stuff, that's for Christians. That's for Christians. Don't you want God working in your life for good? For good. Conforming you to the image of His Son. Sure you do. So here's your chance to become a Christian. And here's your chance to let us know you want us to help you become a Christian this morning. We're ready to assist you. You just let us know by coming to the front. You come with a heart full of faith, with an attitude of repentance. We'll ask you to confess with your mouth before men your faith in Jesus Christ, and we'll unite you with Christ in baptism. You'll go home. You'll go home a child of God. You'll go home a servant of righteousness. What an opportunity. If you're not a Christian, we'll give you the opportunity to become one. Maybe you're here, you're our brother and sister in Christ, and you have those things that, you know, if your brothers and sisters would just know about them, we could help you with. It's not uncommon for us, for me, to get a call and say, well, no one helped me. Well, did anyone know? This is the first you've told me. Because if you'd have told me and I could help you, you'd have been helped. But it's the first I know. Sometimes we as Christians just need to let our brothers and sisters know we need help. We need help. So this morning, if you're a child of God, but you have those needs in your life, whether they be physical or spiritual, we're here to help one another, right? We're here to assist one another. If we can do that, you need to let us know. Do that now as together we stand and as we sing.